Hey coaches, Adam here. Before we jump into today's episode, I just want to take a moment and remind you of our brand new coaches membership. We've recently put everything we make available for coaches all under one umbrella. There's a tremendous amount of resources. In fact, one in particular I want to bring attention to. It's our brand new player resource videos. It's a new section in the membership that is filled with 5 minute or less teaching videos that you can share directly with your players. These are unique teaching concepts that I promise you, when your players watch them, it will change their entire perspective. Promise you. Coaches, if you're not engaged with our new coaches membership, make sure you check it out today. In the meantime, hope you enjoy today's episode. It is part of a series of episodes titled Season Setup, designed to get you set up and ready for the upcoming season. Hope you enjoy. We appreciate you. I'm Adam. Till next time.
You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up podcast, powered by Chick-fil-A.
Thank you for hanging with us. I'm Adam Bradley from Lead 'Em Up, joined by Kyle Almendorf, our Southeast Regional Coach. And we're in the midst of a season setup series, recording a series of episodes designed to help you get ready and set for your season. Obviously, at the time of this recording, we are jumping into the upcoming fall season here within the school year. And there's a tremendous amount of coaches, whether in the fall, that are just getting started, or those in the winter coming up a few months out, but are starting to put their planning processes in place, that we wanted to record a series of episodes that could help you on some of the things you tackle early on in your season. And today, Kyle, we're going to be jumping into the episode titled The Captain's Trap. Just out of curiosity, where do you stand on captains in general? Your general philosophy on should you have them, should you not?
It's changed quite a bit over the years, to be honest. When I first started coaching, it was all about captains and really didn't put too much thought into it because it was one of those things where it's just always been done. And the further I progressed into my coaching career, I think I fell more towards the lines of, you know, captains were more so just kind of like a celebratory thing, or they were just kind of a thing out there for the pregame meeting. And it was more about like the team-wide approach. So today I see where they can fit into the team setting, but I definitely don't think like the leadership and the sole kind of like title or position falls on the captain. It should be more of a team-led thing.
Yeah, I tend to agree. You know, I am not 100% sold on captains. I think every team is unique. Every team needs to be evaluated independently. I don't think you should hold on to captains for tradition's sake, because that's what we've always done. I don't think that works. I think some teams, there should not be captains. I think there's some teams that it is clear cut and you should have a few. And when we talk about captains in today's episode, we're not talking about just the people that go out to the center. Okay. We're talking about those people that those players on the team that have been assigned this role, been kind of announced in front of the team that they are our captains, and that we are looking upon these group of individuals to carry us, to lead us, to be out front for our team, guiding us. This is the captains we're referring to. And as you begin this process of evaluating, is this something we want? Do we do it this year? How does it look? What's the best way to get the most out of them? There's a few things you need to be thinking about and strongly considering as you begin to approach this. And I hope some of the things we share today can challenge some thoughts for coaches to get them to either maybe pause and reconsider or maybe pivot in their approach to begin to do it a little bit differently. And I think one of the things that I always say, Kyle, out of the gate, I want coaches to think about captains less like a player captain and more like a coach role. And there's a couple things involved in that. Less like a player captain, more like a coach role. I want you to think about the intentionality you would put in place to hire a coach on your staff. You're not just going to randomly pick it, right? There's usually going to be an interview or two. Oftentimes, it may be someone that got referred to you through a mutual friend, or you've checked some references to make sure they're really valid and legit. You've laid out a plan for what they're going to be doing. You've put together the necessary resources for them to be successful. And you recognize once you make the decision to hire that coach, their success is dependent on your leadership. And right. that if they thrive, guess what? You've done a great job equipping your staff, building them up, and putting them in position to be successful. But if they struggle, all eyes and fingers go back to you. You didn't hire right. You didn't go through the interview process right. You selected the wrong candidate. You didn't support them well. Kyle, I think when we begin to approach captain in general as being an extension of the staff with the same level of intentionality as you would about a staff member, oh man, I think it changes things.
Yeah, when you hire a staff member, you just don't say, welcome aboard, good luck, check in with you at the end of the week. There's constant communication, there's constant dialogue. When you're planning things, you're keeping in mind that staff member. So when you're thinking about, you know, the captain and the way that you kind of described it, it's almost like a liaison between the players and the coach. It's kind of like the person that's the go-between in a way where maybe they have earned that position to where they have the right to speak on behalf of the team, or the coach is like, I need this person to deliver the message to the team in this regard. That liaison role, there's a lot of intentionality behind it. There's a lot of planning and prep. And it's not something that's just left to chance, which I think sometimes captains are. It's like you vote for them. Maybe they're assigned by a coach. But then at the end of the day, it's just like a weekly thing. And we expect them to fulfill the role that a captain should do. But there's not much that goes behind it.
I mean, 100%. And I'll take it to another level. Coaches, not just think about it like a coaching hire. I'd actually like you to envision that there was a stipend behind it. That there was a stipend behind it. That you're going to bring on a captain. They're going to be part of your team, your staff, equipped in this responsibility of leading your team. There's going to be a variety of things being put on them, hopefully. And you're going to pay a portion of your stipend money for them. That they're going to be part of the staff. However you need to allocate those resources. Oh, guess what? Your captains receive some of it also. That immediately is going to stop some coaches in their tracks. And we're like, well, okay, let me pump my brakes right here. You know,
pause. It might make me do that. Yeah.
Let me pump the brakes a little bit. I don't know if I'm giving some money to that young man or that young lady. I don't know if they're ready for it yet. And then, okay. That's fair.
Yeah. Not even like you're giving them a stipend. Like your stipend depends on their success.
Oh, wow.
So you don't get your stipend unless they're successful.
Yeah. No coach is doing it at that point.
Well, you're going to be a heck of a lot more intentional about who that person is.
You really would. You really would. But I think it would look at you, you'd evaluate and say, okay, if I've got to actually invest in them from a financial standpoint and I don't know if I feel confident enough at that point to do that. And I think that statement right there, that thought process should just be pause, you know, or reason for pause to say, then maybe I don't know if I should announce them publicly to the team and to the community and to the school, because that's what we do with captains often. We announce them. Right. We declare them, okay, outward. Let everybody know. They are going to help.
The media guide, everything.
We let them all know that they're going to be responsible for leading us. And if you don't have the confidence that you would go the route of hiring them or bringing them in, then maybe they aren't quite ready to be that. Okay. Now, maybe they are, but also it doesn't fully end and start and end right there because there is more to it. My first kind of breakdown on this captain's trap is I just want coaches. And obviously, there isn't really a stipend position. And obviously we're speaking hypotheticals here, but I believe we need to have that level of intentionality about this decision.
Right.
Because the reality is if we get it wrong, it has damaging consequences to our team. Okay. And if we get it right, it can really help and equip our team, but we've got to make sure we are approaching it with that level of intentionality and not having this casual approach to it, which I feel is what is common on most teams. It's a casual, traditional base approach that we're just going to go through this process. Even when some coaches say, well, you know, I do an interview process and, you know, I bring them in. Okay, that's great. That's great. Then that goes to the next step, right? Which for me, the next step that we've got to make sure we're not falling into the trap is that we are not, what I say, reaching for captains, okay?
Yeah.
We can't reach for captains. If it is not clear, right? If we have to go through an extensive interview process to try to find a candidate because it's not very clear to us, like it's not kind of outwardly obvious to much degree that we've got these candidates in the building to really lead us, that we've got to kind of see who wants it, who's interested, who's qualified. I'm concerned right there.
Yeah, you should almost know at the end of your previous season, like you have your awards banquet, you close the season out. When you take your time off and you get back together as a staff, you should start having those conversations about who's next year's captains are going to be if you're going to have them. You can't wait till August 1st rolls around, practice has started, and then be like, oh, by the way, next week we're going to vote on team captains. There has to be some forethought to that. And if people don't jump up in mind, you know, right away of like, okay, next year, this is this year's group. Who are they going to be? And if players aren't kind of talking about it or know somewhat who that might be, you need to put in that work in the off season before you get to August, or if you're basketball, before you get to November. It can't just be like the week before.
I've got a little saying I just came up with the other day, Kyle. Kind of rhymes. I like rhyming sayings. I think they're catchy. Here you go. If it's not clear, wait till next year.
Poet and you didn't even know it.
Cheesy. Oh my gosh, that feels so cheesy. But if it's not clear, wait till next year. And I think you run the risk if you put someone in a position that isn't qualified, that isn't respected and viewed as a leader within the group, that may have a series of behavioral challenges over the past. And obviously you're not going to put anyone with a majorly suspect, questionable background, but if they're also not clear cut individuals that are obvious, then they clearly have some uncertainty that's causing you not to consider them to be an obvious choice. Okay. Right. There are some causes there for hesitation, right? All of a sudden, you now communicate a message to the team that you can get to the highest level of leadership within this group. You can have the highest ranking, quote unquote, player leadership and act that way and behave that way.
Completely undermines you, undercuts you as a coach.
It hurts and damages your standards. So whenever I hear about a coach going through an interview process that is extensive and they're not quite sure who the candidates are going to be, and they're going to wait and see how it evaluates and all shakes out through the interview to see who wants it, I'm immediately like, do we have to do this? Like, do we have to do this? Because I'm not sure if I feel very confident with this. Right. I don't know if we need to. We can be always important to remember there's multiple ways to win a championship. Okay. There's multiple ways to win a championship. There are teams that have won championships with captain's approach, and there are teams that have won championships with team-wide leadership approach. Okay. Right. I also think it's really interesting when you go to the team-wide leadership approach, those leaders that were meant to step out and stand out, they will eventually. They will eventually step out and stand out, even if they aren't elected captains, okay? Yeah. Right, without the title. And I also think it's appropriate that you could come back to it later. I think that's totally fair, right? It's you're unsure of mid early in the season, but then you get into week six and it's just clear that AJ and Mike, right? Hypothetically speaking, they have just elevated. They have just positioned themselves to be out front. And you know what? I'm going to give them the respect and the honor and the privilege of awarding them as captain of this team, so they can kind of be proud of that because it's been clear. That's okay too, coaches. Yeah, I'd much rather do that.
The team will recognize that and they'll embrace it. And they'll probably almost tell the coach, these are the guys or the girls that need to be out there. And because if it's a team-wide leadership approach, you realize that great leadership means good followership, right? And if you respect your teammates, you're not going to have a problem with them going out there for a coin toss or anything like that. But back to a little bit, if you are going to take the approach of having the captains, why go through the interview process? Why not make it, instead of an appointed position, why not make it an earned position? Because the reason why a lot of the times, you know, maybe from the outside looking in, where the captains are still a big deal, well, why is that the case? Mom and dad are like, yo, my son, my daughter, they're a captain. You might put that on a resume. You might put that on a scholarship application. So there's a lot that goes into it. But then sometimes as coaches, we open ourselves up to some outward criticism that probably isn't fair nor warranted, but it comes with the territory of you're playing politics. How did that person get there? You're playing favorites. So maybe if we are going to go that route of the captain, take the approach or ask the question of how can it be something that's, you know, appointed or earned rather than just given or assigned?
Yeah.
Hey guys, this is Kayla with Chick-fil-A, and this is today's Leadership Nugget. Over the years, I feel like the most respected leaders and the most respected team members at Chick-fil-A are the ones that hold themselves accountable to the very highest level of expectations. In fact, you might say that they don't even need leadership because they monitor their own decisions and they check in on their own work. They don't leave anything on the table. In fact, if they can do it better, they're going to take it every single time. It's this internal drive to do nothing less than their very best, even when nobody's watching. They know that this is what takes it to the next level. So the question is, are you fueled by an internal accountability for excellence in every decision that you make? Do you put in the same amount of effort when nobody's watching you? That's what great respected leaders do. Now let's jump back to the episode.
You bring up a great point, because when you start getting into these very competitive interview processes where there's multiple candidates, nobody's really clear, you're trying to assess and work your way through, I've seen this time and time again backfire on the coach, where all of a sudden they do pick someone, all right, that everyone thinks they're relatively on the same page, if not better than. And now all of a sudden your hope to kind of lead the team forward is now just simply infuse your team with more tension and toxicity. There's more drama, right? There's more division in your team over this decision of captains. And then you've got to simply ask the question, was it worth it? Okay. Was it worth it? And I love this approach. I've read this recently about the in business, where there's a lot of conversation about, you know, work from home or remote work, or, you know, the return to work approach, right? You're hearing a lot about
Malcolm
this.
Gladwell came out this week and kind of lit Twitter on fire with his take on it.
Yeah, everyone's got these opinions, right? But I do remember reading one input, which I thought was really, really good. It was an interesting way to think about it. The gentleman said, he said, if the office work environment that we know it today, the cubicles, all that, right? Everyone making their way into work, driving 45 minutes, whatever, you know, to sit around the office, you know, do their work. If that had never been established ever in history, in 2022, would you innovate that?
No.
And it's an interesting question. It says, if it had never been done in history, where you are today with technology and everything, would you look at that and say, I need to create that? I need my people driving an hour. We need to sit in cubicles. We all need to be in the same room.
You need to have someone come and interrupt you for an hour-long conversation that didn't need to take place while you need to get work done. No one's going to say that.
But it was an interesting thought, and I love the angle on it. And it almost makes me think about where we are with the captains.
That's a great point.
If captains had never been a tradition, if this assigning two or three or four people to kind of be out in front of the group and kind of have this status symbol had never been created, had never been established, would you look at your team today and think it needs it? It's really interesting.
Right.
I do believe, once again, when I think about that question, I think it goes back to what I said at the beginning. Some teams, it makes sense. other teams, it seems like I would be square peg round holing, trying to create something that shouldn't happen or that doesn't exist. It would be very, very unique and one-off based on every situation. But what I wouldn't do, once again, is reach for it. So this captain trap, first thing, I want to make sure coaches, once again, are approaching their captains with the same level of intentionality as they would a coaching hire. So, so critical, right? View it as an extension, recognizing their success falls on you. Their failure falls on you. It is up to you. You're responsible for it. Treat it like a coach. How would you do that? Secondly, do not reach. If it is clear, I think you lean in. If it's not clear, hold off. You can come back to it later. If it's not fully clear, even at that point, wait till next
year.
Wait a year, because it's not clear. It rhymes, okay? Number three, the third thing I think you need to be really, really careful to avoid is you need to be careful selecting but not equipping.
Right.
Selecting and not equipping, because this is the other trap that we often find ourselves falling into. We go through the process of selecting captains. We identify these people. We announce them to the team, to the public, to the community, put them out on social media, our 2022 captains. Hello. Right. And we're all excited about them. And we've got zero plan to develop them or equip them. They go out. They don't know what they're going to do. They don't know what they're supposed to do. If you ask 90% of captains after getting announced in the position of captain, tell me what you should do now. They say, I don't know. I don't know. I guess lead everybody, right? It's very vague, nothing specific. There's no developmental resources or equipping of them. And yet they're put out in front of the group in this position of relative authority with the hopes that they're going to succeed, and they haven't been set up. That's a problem, and it's a real disservice to captains when coaches do that, and you've got to make sure we avoid the trap of selecting and not equipping.
Yeah, makes me think of a quote, you know, if you know better, you can do better. And I think back, you know, it's been a while since we played high school ball, but I served as a captain, and it kind of, you know, perfectly fit what you just described is, we kind of knew what to do and we weren't given like anything intentional. And to be honest, it wasn't any fault of our coach. There really wasn't anything out there for them to do. And I think for a long time, you know, it's one of those things where everybody's got captains. Well, if I don't got captains, then I must be doing something wrong. So here's your captains. And then it's like you said, it's left to chance. But now we're at a point to where, you know, the reference that we made earlier, if you have all this technology, if you have all this information at your fingertips, you're able to do more. You're able to give them more and better equip them. So we're at that point now where those things are in play. And to be honest, there's not an excuse in 2022. Maybe in 1999, 2000, this stuff wasn't out there. Or in 2022, and it's out there. And, you know, it's there to help coaches to take it off their plate.
I would love, Kyle. Oh my gosh. I don't know how many players are going to be listening to this. This is more of a coaching podcast. I don't know how many they're going to hear this, but I have tweeted this before. I've tweeted that if you're a player who gets assigned a captain, I don't know if coaches like this, but hey, it is what it is. That if you're a player and you get assigned a captain, that you should go back to the coach prior to accepting it and ask them their plan to set you up for success. Ask the coach, what is their plan to set you up for success? Because if you were to take on a new position, a job, and you were to get hired on and they wanted to bring you on to kind of, you know, lead this group, it's a very common question that the person that's being interviewed would want to know, like, if I take this position, like, what am I going to have available to me to help me be successful? Are there any resources? Am I going to be able to experience any training? Is there a mentor program? Are you going to work with me? Right? Like, how are you going to equip me to be successful? Because the last thing I want to do is take this job with you at this organization and then immediately get thrown into the wolves, thrown into the fire, right? Without any preparation, any training, any development, any support, and then be held responsible when I don't do well. I don't want that pressure. That's setting me up for failure. Now, our kids aren't at the level of maturity to think that way because they haven't experienced their professional careers and things like that. But as someone in my position, that's how I think. Right.
On the other side of it. Yeah. For coaches, what I'm thinking of, what's going through my head right now is on the other side of that. And, you know, you can take it and almost be like, how can I make this work for me? So if you have like a great organization and people want to work there, why is that the case? Because people succeed, they get promoted up. So if you're running a program and you have something that develops captains, that develops leaders, and they go on to succeed at the next level, whatever that may be, word of mouth is always the greatest recruiter. So you can leverage that on your own social media platforms, through your own marketing, your program. But when the players and the parents experience it and they're like, oh man, Coach Bradley over there, they've got this program where they have captains, but they actually train and equip them. And it's a team-wide leadership approach. Why wouldn't you want your son or daughter to go play there? That is a competitive advantage, in my opinion. And I think you need to tap into more of that rather than like, oh, it's too much and I don't know what they're going to give me. Get the resources there, give it to the players, and now use that to recruit better players in your program.
Yo, amen to that. I like that add-on. Right? Make that program more attractive.
Market. Okay. Yourself.
So that's point three. So important, right? That we are putting a plan in place to equip them. And I can't even help. I can't shake this, Kyle. This thought. I'm picturing myself sitting in a coach's office, all the coaches around, right? And here comes our captain candidate. I'm thinking about just the average coach's office around the country, okay? Your average coach. And that captain comes in and says, hey, coach, I got your message last night. And, man, I appreciate it. I'm very humbled that y'all would consider me to be a captain this year. Like, it's a great honor, great honor. But I was just thinking, before I accept, I would like to – I do got a question for you guys. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, fire away. What you got, bud? I mean, I just want to know, like, you know, what is your plan to set me up for success with this? I'd like to know, before I accept this position, I'd like to know what you're going to do for me to put me in position to be successful this year, right? Training, resourcing, mentoring, developing, right? Coaching, instruction. What are you going to do? I kind of need to know that, coach, before I accept. And then just sit back and listen. Yeah. I don't even know what the average coach would say in that moment because most of them don't have a plan.
No, but here's what I'd love to hear. Hey, we're a Lead 'Em Up coaches membership. We got the captain's course included, and this is what you're going to do, bud. 8-week course. Here you go. It'll train you, equip you, give you everything you need to know, and I'm going to be there with you every step of the way.
Hey, well played. Well played. You would have thought that was scripted by us, but it is not.
No,
that was really good. Yeah. Okay. But think about that. Actually, now that you go that way, all of a sudden as a coach, I'm walking away like, sweet, I'm in. Appreciate that. Oh, I get to do it with my other captains. Oh, we're going to go through it together. Awesome. Oh, but here's, once again, you don't even know my notes really on this because it ties in perfectly to the last point. The last point plays in so well because it could play into that coach's answer if that player came and approached him on this. The last thing we've got to make sure we avoid the trap, we've got to make sure that we've got a plan in place to also lead those and develop those that our captains are responsible for developing.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to put a plan in place to develop the people the captains are going to be responsible for leading. We talk about this all the time. Oftentimes, we do not lack leadership on teams. We burn out leaders on our team. And we burn them out by way of the other players on the team continuously being extremely challenging to lead. They don't respond. They don't listen well. They get defensive. They push back. Their ego gets in the way and they think they already know it all, right? They make jokes back to the leader that they're just a goody good or try hard or whatever the case may be, right? And all of a sudden, over time, after enough failed attempts of trying to lead these individuals that are challenging to lead, we will take an excited, invested leader and burn them out to the point where they say, it's not worth it.
Yep.
And it happens time and time again. Which is why anytime a coach tells me they want to use Lead 'Em Up for a group of leaders, but not the whole team, I tell them to pause. Stop. Tell me your plan. What's your hope? Well, I'm gonna build them up and I'm gonna let them go and lead them. All right, let me ask you a question, coach. I want you to tell me from your perspective, the players on your team, the ones you're also responsible for leading, do you have anyone challenging to lead on your team? Or are they all angels and saints? No, there's some challenging ones. Oh yeah, of course there are, coach. And let me just remind you something, coach. They're challenging for you to lead. And you have 20 years of experience under your belt. And you have the authority of a coach in your favor. And you have in your hands playing time, which is what they want. And you struggle leading them. But yet you're going to put the 16-year-old out there, right?
Heavy burden.
And have them and expect them to get it and to get those kids to buy in? No. The thing you need to do to help best support your captains is make sure you are pouring into the other players, getting them to shift their mindset. So then when the leaders, those captains come in behind, they are meeting and leading people that are going to be more receptive to the leadership. It's got to be team-wide approach. Otherwise, you are sending your captains out to the wolves, and they will get eaten. They will. I just had this conversation tonight with the team. This is the number one issue that I hear from players time and time again about leadership. Coach, every time I try to step out to lead them, they don't listen. They don't care. They won't, hear me, right?
Yeah, they push back.
They don't respond, right? What do I do, right? It's like not even worth it. That is the thing. So I'm going to tell you, if you're going to go the captain's route, you better have a plan in place to develop the leader. You better have a plan in place to develop the team. Okay. Hopefully you do not reach. And if you have the intentionality as a coaching hire, you put some of these things in place. It's going to help you, right? If you go down this path, but it also could cause you to pause and say, I'm not quite ready for this. And maybe that's okay too in this moment.
Yeah. You don't have to do it just to do it.
I mean, and coaches, you got to think about it, right? This has to be a really, really intentional act. This is a big thing, a big responsibility in the team. And if you can get it right, great. It really has tremendous value if you can get it right. If you get it right with the right people, it works out really nicely. I think it was built in tradition for a reason, because it does work. It does have value. But it also doesn't work a lot of times. And I don't know the actual odds on this, the statistics on it, okay? But I would imagine that it's less than 50% if asked, and this is obviously anecdotally speaking, I don't have the actual textual, but also it's experiential as well, right? I've experienced and had the conversation. So it's direct feedback and my own experience that less than half the coaches, if they had to grade the success of their captains in past years, grade it and grade it on a scale that they either exceeded expectations, met expectations, or kind of performed slightly under expectations, that more than 50% would say it's a little bit less than under 50%, right?
Yeah, I'd say that's fair.
It's like maybe at the most they kind of met expectations, maybe a little bit under, right? Maybe didn't completely fall short of them. But very rarely have I ever heard a coach say they go on the captain route and those captains exceeded expectations. Very rarely. They're most of the time met at the most. Most of the time didn't quite generate the type of influence, impact, transformation, leadership that we expected. So if that were to be the case, let's say, hypothetically speaking, it's 35% success rate. Like, why is that a guarantee you have to do that then? Like, who does that? Like a guarantee, oh man, I've got about a 30% chance of being successful. I'm in. I'm in. Get me on this board. No.
Roll it back up. Let's run it back.
Oh, man, 30% chances of winning? Oh, sign me up for the Mega Millions, right? Like, no. Well, actually, Mega Millions at 30% chance, I would sign up for that.
Yeah,
but
that'd be good.
That'd be a great odd. But you get the point, right? Right, like this isn't a slam dunk. it's not a slam dunk guarantee thing you have to do. Make sure it's done appropriately. Make sure it's done right. Hopefully some of these traps that we shared today can kind of get you to pause, kind of get you to stop and reconsider. If you've got additional thoughts or questions about anything pertaining to captains, let us know. You can send us an email at our info@leademup.com. Obviously, hit us up on Twitter. We would love to engage deeper in this conversation. And as we mentioned there at the beginning of the episode, this is part of an entire season setup series of episodes. Make sure you check out the collection of episodes, all designed to help you get off to the right start for your season. As always, appreciate you listening. I am Adam, along with Kyle. On behalf of the entire team, have fun and lead them up.
We want to take a moment and thank our friends over at Chick-fil-A for partnering with us on the Lead 'Em Up podcast. Chick-fil-A is mostly well known for their incredible original chicken sandwich and those amazing waffle potato fries. But what people might not understand is there is a lot more going on behind the counter. You see, every Chick-fil-A is individually owned and operated by someone who deeply cares for their community and for their team. So next time you get an urge to go buy a Chick-fil-A, remember, it is more than just a chicken sandwich. We are thankful to Chick-fil-A and thankful for you for listening. So until next time, have fun and lead them up.